News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5, 807. The Mobile Mornings on our Friday. It's going to be a rainy Friday. Get ready. There's rain stretching all the way back to Texas. That'll be affecting us probably through mid-morning tomorrow, pretty much. Then the weekend will moderate and get very, very nice. So enjoy the weather once the rain gets out of here.
Yeah, and hopefully we get some good openings tomorrow. I want to let people know and remind people, really, softball Memorial Tournament after the terrible tragedy involving that Wilmer family, which we've been talking about all week. You know, the 17-year-old victim in that case, big-time softball player with Sims Softball, and really enjoyed that. And so Sims hosting a benefit softball tournament. It will run tomorrow, beginning at, first pitch at 9 a.m., and all proceeds will benefit the Luker family, a double elimination tournament there on Blackwell Nursery Road in Sims. And Jesse wanted me to let y'all know that there will be face painting, bounce houses, and snow cones, $10 at the gate, all the proceeds going to the Luker family. That's coming up tomorrow morning beginning at 9.
So again, if the weather's not great to start out, just be patient and wait for that beautiful weather to get here, because it's coming.
Yeah.
It may not be there at 9 a.m., so you might have to exercise just a little patience and understand that the good weather's on the way.
And I understand if any parents out there have kids in the car and they heard me say face painting and bounce houses, the kids have probably decided what they're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because when my kids hear that, they're like, sign us up. We're headed we're headed that way.
So you've told stories where you're just riding by random places. You've got no idea what's going on. Could be a church, could be a car dealership, and your kids are saying, hey, pops, pull over.
Turn it around. Turn this car around. Hey, May 19th, the primaries, they're on the way. May 4th is that deadline to make sure you're registered to vote, and we continue our series of interviews with candidates in these local races with Kyle Henderson, who joins us this morning, a Fairhope-based attorney. First-time candidate, I understand, and running for Baldwin County Commission District 2. Good morning, Kyle. Thanks for coming in with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you in here. Why don't we just start out with that? You're a first-time candidate. A lot of things happening in Baldwin County, a lot of concerns, a lot of wonderful things. But to what's motivating you to try to become part of leadership in that county to steer things in whatever direction you think it needs to go?
Well, I'll start off by saying it's the high-density subdivisions. It's the growth in Baldwin County that's not sustainable. Me being a lawyer, hoping anyone listening is not going to hold it against me for because I'm a lawyer, but Baldwin County's never had a lawyer even run for county commissioner.
Really?
And so I would be the first lawyer on the county commission that I'm aware of. But I believe there's value in that, understanding planning and zoning, understanding the laws and what goes into enacting rules and regulations. So that it really goes back to getting control over the high-density subdivision developers and bringing it back to a community-based approach where the community shapes the future of Baldwin County, not the other way around.
Doesn't feel that way right now, does it? It feels like it's kind of the no hands are on the wheel, right?
That's the way I feel and what everybody's telling me to.
Yep.
The way they feel.
You know, you've been canvassing the county, you've been knocking on doors, some forums. I was reading an interview in Lanyap, and I used the term, I think, reckless growth was the term you used for what's going on in Baldwin County. What was that line? I mean, you've been there, you've been watching this growth come in. Was it the community around you saying, man, this is our drives to work and school have become unbearable, there's too much? When was the line crossed, I guess you could say, where you're like, man, we've got to get a handle on this? Was it a decade ago? Was it 5 years ago? Or do you think just really these last couple of years it's picked up to an unsustainable pace, the growth, the development?
I would say probably in the past 5 years, you could just see it. If you do aerial shots, there's red clay everywhere in Baldwin County.
Hmm.
I mean, and we're sandy, you know, so it's really seeing that. And then you know, you see a new school at Belforce Elementary School, and you have County Road 64, and you have State Highway 181. There's no turn lane to the right to go on to 181, and that school's been there, 4 years or so? We need to take a proactive approach on these issues of infrastructure, not a reactive, and hit these spots as they come up, but we have to we have to increase the lot sizes if we're going to stand a chance of putting a moratorium and study infrastructure and increase the lot sizes.
So how do you go about, is that zoning or how do you increase the lot sizes?
Yeah, that is part of planning and zoning. You have to change the way planning and zoning is done. And sometimes you just have to rip the Band-Aid off and take a totally different approach, because right now a totally different approach is probably what's needed for Baldwin County.
You know, 181 in particular, the growth on 181 and the road itself has changed so dramatically in the past, you know, you point out 5 years or so. I mean, I remember when it was simply known as Highway 27 and you could meander your way down and play a round of golf down at Quail Creek, and it didn't seem like you didn't have a care in the world. Now, when you're on that road, there's also a matter of safety, right, Kyle? I mean, you have so much going on and you have so many people trying to pull out of their subdivisions that it's a lot happening that probably is causing accidents and near accidents and concerns around school zones. There's a lot that needs to be addressed.
Yes, 181 is a state highway, so the county can bring those issues to the state level, but that road, unfortunately, is maintained by the state. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that the subdivisions right along the road, to me, they're not very attractive looking at them, and I wish that at that time, whenever the developments in the county would have taken place, there would have been conversation at least. If you're going to build there at that time, make sure that there's industry or something in front of it so that the subdivision is not seen right at the road, because many of them come right up to the road. And it's an eyesore, and long-term viability is very concerning.
You know, for the first time, and I've heard so many residents from Baldwin County complain about this overdevelopment and growth. For the first time the other day, someone sent in a question asking about not only the developments, but the density within some of these developments. They feel it's almost like a safety hazard how close some of these houses are. I hadn't heard that complaint yet until someone texted it in earlier this week, but that's how quickly things are growing, and they're really packing some of these subdivisions in like sardines, it seems.
Yeah, I mean quarter-acre lots, third-acre lots, where people say that even live in it, when they look out the window, whether it's their bathroom or the front door, they can see in their other neighbor's house around and seeing what they're doing. And
yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I wouldn't like that.
And so, it's people have told me that they're not happy with the direction of these subdivisions. I do believe that there's room for growth if it's done in a way that promotes the community basis and making sure that we bring back the custom home builders that we used to have, where not every house looks the same and where they're on a lot where
a bigger lot.
Bigger lots. Yeah. Bigger lots.
You've mentioned, you've floated a moratorium, and that's a word we've heard a lot of from Baldwin County, different municipalities over the last some time now, actually. You've floated a moratorium on some of these subdivisions. How long would that last, or would it just be until you feel the county is caught up and is able to move forward? And how would you go about that?
Okay, moratoriums have to be for a specific purpose and for a specific length of time. And Baldwin County doesn't own any of their own utilities, and it's usually designed to study utility infrastructure and to make sure that utilities and so forth can sustain the future growth for that particular area. Mm-hmm. It's not for the whole area, but for that particular area. But to put a moratorium on in certain areas, or even a moratorium to study the infrastructure and the impact of utilities, certain utilities, whether it's sewer or electricity, and it has to be for for a specific purpose and for a certain period of time, whether that's 6 months and it can be extended, or to a year. And I'm not, if somebody's already in the pipeline on permitting and pulled their permits, it's not going to apply to them, nor should it, because they've already done what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But for future developments that have not gone through the process, then yes, I think a moratorium, because when people elect you and they tell you what they want, the only way you can really, I don't believe you can keep doing things the same way you're doing it without slowing down or even stopping to make sure that you're implementing their vision or doing everything you can do. And it's a lot easier for the cities to do it because they're under what they call home rule under laws. We're under in the county limited home rule, meaning the state legislature, Montgomery, gets to come and dictate what Baldwin County can and can't do, which I'd love to get Montgomery out of Baldwin County, to be frank.
Yeah. You know, the two of you have got something in common. You grew up in a rural area.
Yep, I grew up in Clark County.
Right, and so you're a resident now of Fairhope or Daphne, or I know your law, the law firm you're affiliated with is in Fairhope, correct?
No, well, I live in Fairhope. Okay. My children are in the Baldwin County Fairhope feeder pattern.
Okay.
I think Baldwin County Board of Education has done a great job. There's some people that do not think that, but I think they've done a great job. But I grew up in a and my law office is in Robertsdale.
Okay.
I grew up in Escambia County, Alabama, between a town of called Flomington and Bruton in McCall community.
They called it the Attorney's Triangle. So many great attorneys came out of that area.
Out of Flomington, that's right,
Well, thank you. Thank you. But no, that's – and so we had peanut fields right next to us, cotton fields, and, you know, my family is coming from farmers, and so we actually have – 220 acres of family land been passed down for, I think, three or four generations from Covington County in a rural area of Carolina, which is near Blue Springs and so forth.
Okay.
So my grandparents, one side, other side was from Jay, Florida, and they were sharecroppers. We got to figure out a way to keep farmers farming. Sorry.
That's what I was wondering is how does that influence you as you look at this sprawling growth in the county of Baldwin County, knowing that you grew up in a rural area and probably see things a different way than the average Fairhope or Daphne resident?
Oh, man, I tell you what, when I go to Carolina, Alabama, one of the things I love to do is just get on one of our three tractors and just go around there, whether it's bush hogging, disking, clearing roads, or getting debris out there to the point where I've been driving, you know, and legs start catching the cramp because you've been turning sharp angles and everything, and you're hitting the clutch and the brakes to make a sharp turn. But just going out there, being part of nature, and my goodness, to relate that back to Fairhope and Baldwin County, it's frankly and straight up, it's being destroyed, and I don't like it.
Got it. Yeah, and a big part of that, and you understand what makes, you know, the people that like living out in the country, what makes them tick and what they're scared of in the future coming their way. But so much of that is environmental as well. And when we get back, we'll hit a news break here in just a second, but we have plenty to ask you regarding that because that's become quite the topic in Baldwin County as well, whether it's these solar farm projects moving in or just the development you were talking about, which we've already seen cases of some severe runoff into our bodies of water, and it's really affecting the way of life in Baldwin County already. So we'll continue our conversation. Kyle Henderson, running for Baldwin County Commission District 2. Again, I'll say it, and I'll keep saying it so that you don't forget. May 4th is that deadline to make sure you're registered to vote. May 19th, we have the primaries on the way. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, and also we'll say this is when you hear an interview on FM Talk 106.5, if you missed part of it and you're interested in the candidate or the race in particular, you can always go back because we podcast everything we do.
Quick traffic update. Thank you, Jason. Accident 65 southbound at Moffitt Road. The middle and right lane are closed, and there's a half-mile backup already. 65 southbound at Moffitt Road, middle and right lane closed. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Willie reminding us we're off to the weekend here, 826 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
We're talking with Kyle Henderson, candidate for Baldwin County Commission District 2, and with the time we have left, we've been talking about growth, infrastructure, and I want to get into also kind of the ecological impact of a lot of this growth, whether it's the solar farm we've been talking about, the solar farm project coming potentially to the northern part of the county or a lot of these developments. We've seen cases already of runoff getting into the water and causing some big issues. I'm sure that plays a role in what you'd like to see policed a little more closely in the county.
It is. Absolutely. Thank you for asking about that. I would like to correct something. everybody's been saying solar farm. It is not a farm. It is a solar development. If they want to put sheep on there, they can call it a sheep farm. But you're not going to get me caught. You're not going to catch me saying it's a solar farm because it has nothing to do with agriculture at all. So to me, it's a solar development.
Gotcha.
But no, related to that, 100%. These high density subdivisions that are coming in here are destroying our waterways. I mean, we've seen it, and Wolf Bay. We know it doesn't matter if you look at Silicon Valley Ranch. Mm-hmm. They have their solar developments in other places have had massive runoff issues.
There's been lawsuits, all kinds of things.
And then what's deceiving to me was whenever we're listening to them, they mentioned we're going to change. Minimize how the grade we're going to do as little grading as possible. Mm-hmm. That's so hilly. I mean, they're going to have to grade it to a great degree to be able to accomplish what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But I'm with the people of Stockton, and I believe that they should shape their future. But understanding this, they have decided that they have asked for some zoning restrictions because whenever you're in unincorporated, unzoned areas, there are consequences for that, but there are also benefits. And so right now Stockton is
they're vulnerable.
They're vulnerable. And one of the ways to limit the vulnerability is to have the county commission to have some teeth in it. But let me tell you, I was very disappointed in the state legislature recently whenever they passed legislation related to water pollutants and so forth and water quality. They said we can't exceed federal regulations. Baldwin County is the dumping ground of everywhere else in the state, whether it's industry or so forth. We need to be able to protect our water quality in Baldwin County. And personally, to me, I think that was an attack on ADEM because ADEM is the only entity that really has any teeth to enforce against the people polluting because I think the cities have like a $500 fine that they can impose, and the county has a $500 or $1,000 fine, and it's a one-time fine.
Yeah.
So there's no teeth. So the,
yeah, and we talked about the PSC as well, and their role.
ADEM is catching hell on the text line, by the way.
Kyle, got about a minute left. Let folks know you haven't held office before, but why you are the man to run Baldwin County District 2 and how they can find out more about your candidacy.
Yes, you can go online and look up my website is kyle-henderson.com. But no, I want to be a voice of the people. We have to get back to a community approach. Mm-hmm. We have to get back to a community approach. And what I can promise the people is I promise to listen to you, I promise to serve you, and I promise to lead with integrity. I moved to Baldwin County 17 years ago after graduating law school. Baldwin County is where my children were born and go to school. It's where I work and go to church. Baldwin County is my home, and I know the values we share, faith, family, hard work, and community. I'm asking for your vote and for you to join me in building Baldwin County that works for all of us. I ask you to join me, and let's prepare the future we and our children can be proud of.
Kyle, thanks a bunch. Thanks for coming on today, man. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Mobile Mornings and making us a nappy nominee once again. That voting will open up here later next week. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fine. Finally, some much-needed rain falling on southwest Alabama. No doubt we needed it. I know that your body shop seems to see an uptick in people coming in once we get that rain, but if they get too banged up, you also have a great selection of pre-owned and new vehicles.
That's right. I'm riding down the road now, and those roads are slick. Don't forget Rachel and all the guys and girls back here at our body shop. McConnell Collision will do you right. I promise you. They'll take care of all your insurance needs, show you how to set up a rental car, and just do it all for you. It's just a great, like, one-stop shop. And like you said, if you get that call from her and say it's total, we got a great selection of pre-owned and new up front. Don't forget, we got 0% on half-ton trucks. We're going to be here all weekend. Looks like Saturday after lunch is going to be a great weekend. So get this rain out of here and let's sell some cars.
Yeah, and if people need something in particular, like a people hauler, one of those vans that you can fit a bunch of people in, or a work truck, you come along with those all the time too. So if they're looking for something specific like that, McConnell Automotive has what they need.
That's right. We got a work van and a 15-passenger van. We just got those in. So, like I said, if you need a kid hauler, we got it. So come see us. Give us a call. If you're looking for something, you don't see anything on the website, 251-476-4141. Or, like I said, check the website out, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Hey, we appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 is going to kick some stuff around. First of all, thanks again to Kyle, our special guest, Kyle Henderson, who is running for Baldwin County Commission seat 2. That's being vacated by McKenzie, who's running for sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Angelo Furno running against Kyle, I believe, right?
Yeah, for District 2.
In that District 2.
Seems, too, that the, I know that we have some of our own local races on the Mobile County side that have gotten a little bit heated. Specifically, I'm thinking of the Glover-Harwell race. But Baldwin County, some of those, mud-slinging, elbows up in the paint. It's been a little rough on that side, too, with the candidates getting after each other. It's been kind of interesting to see.
You know, with all the construction, the mud's easy to come by.
Yeah.
It's around.
Yeah, they could just scoop some up and start slinging.
Yeah, but nearly any spot of the county.
We're right down the line from those primaries coming up May 19th. I thought, and I have some polling, and both at the state level and national level, we can also discuss here, to some stuff we haven't really had time to get into this week, that Jefferson County straw poll. And I know Jeff has been talking about this quite a bit this week, Jeff Poor, whose show follows us. Now, it's Jefferson County, so it's just one county. It doesn't tell you how the whole state is feeling. But
it's a big county. I mean, it's Birmingham.
Yeah. I found it fascinating that in the U.S. Senate straw poll at the Jefferson County GOP meeting that they had this last Saturday, they had a breakfast. And Jared Hudson ran away with it. Now, I know that he is a Jefferson County favorite, so this doesn't necessarily match what a lot of the statewide polling is showing. But that statewide polling has shown, I think, Hudson, you know, outperforming what people expected of him, being that he's a relatively new face on the scene, new name. He's run for smaller local offices before, but nothing like U.S. Senate. And
there's not much like U.S. Senate.
No.
It's pretty ambitious shot he's taking here.
Yeah, so you look at some of the statewide polling, and he's in third for most of that, but only points behind whoever's in second, and that
Marshall
swaps based. I guess Marshall is in most polls sitting second now. That is definitely looking like it's headed towards a runoff, but you look at the Jefferson County straw poll, Hudson had 52% of the vote. He got 91 votes, Barry Moore 61 votes, and Steve Marshall 13 votes, which was barely more than Rodney Walker, who received 9 votes. Marshall, they are not a fan of the attorney general in Jefferson County when you compare him to the other two candidates there in Hudson and Moore. Tommy Tuberville ran away with the gubernatorial straw poll, as you would expect. He received 91% of the vote for there, with Ken McFeeters picking up most of the rest. Now, I don't think that's very surprising. Looking at the lieutenant governor's race in Wes Allen, picking up 72 votes to John Wall's 30 votes. A couple that aren't very far behind John Wall, at least in the Jefferson County polling here. Pat Bishop had 4 fewer votes than Wall. Nicole Jones Wadsworth, 5 fewer votes than Wall. And then Rick Pate had 17 votes. So, but Wes Allen running away with that one. He and John Wall actually yesterday came out saying, we need to get after this redistricting after that Louisiana Supreme Court ruling came down earlier this week.
Governor Louisiana is right on it, saying he's going to pause the May primaries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's being very proactive.
Yeah.
Alabama, not so much.
In the Florida Senate, which passed their new maps, I mean, yesterday, pretty much immediately after that ruling came through on Wednesday, they got that through. So it seems like everyone is acting quickly except for Alabama. Governor Ivey already said no special session to draw new maps or anything of that nature. But you did have Attorney General Steve Marshall, who is not well-liked in Jefferson County, we know now. he filed with the Supreme Court yesterday, hoping that they'll take an extra look at our 2023 congressional maps that ended up being redrawn into the districts that we know and see today. Now, for the attorney general race, which talk about mudslinging and dirty races here, it's been unbelievable. And Jay Mitchell, at least in the Jefferson County poll, has the votes. He had 87, but Pamela Casey coming in second in that polling.
Wow.
Followed by Katherine Robertson way behind in Jefferson County.
Isn't that something?
Caroline Dobson dominating the Secretary of State race. Yeah. That was expected after Andrew Sorrell ended up dropping out of that race and running for auditor again.
Let me say one simple thing about Caroline Dobson. She's been all over the state because of her previous run, and she's been everywhere. She's been here a million times. Have you heard a bad word about her? I mean, she's somebody who was willing to meet anybody at any time about mm-hmm. anything. She's well versed on all the matters and all the topics. And I just keep running into people that know her or have now know her through her campaigning mm-hmm. that just say great things about her. I mean, that goes a long way, man. That's not small stuff, right?
Yeah. No, I've heard people, just like any candidate or anyone who puts themselves out in public, they'll pick apart. They don't maybe like how she sounds or in interviews. Maybe they've heard too much of her. But as far as actual policy and picking apart her as a candidate, mm-hmm. you don't hear much of that coming from the Republicans.
So. You don't. And let's go back to the Senate race. I think what's really fascinating about this is that you have Hudson, who was really an afterthought when all this got started. But the thing that I think what Hudson's doing is he's separating himself by the fact that he's not a career politician at all, that he's in law enforcement now, former Navy SEAL. He's got all the, wonderful. He can just push his resume to you, and you can decide if he's a good guy or not, right?
Mm, yeah.
He doesn't have to open his mouth. He's done enough. He's actually done enough, led enough. He's a leader.
Right.
He's not a politician. And I think that the more people see that, realize that, obviously in Jefferson County they know him better, but I think that his authenticity and his message is not that of somebody who has been running for office a long time and sticks his finger in the air and tries to figure out what to say.
Yeah.
He knows what to say as far as what he thinks, and I think that he separates himself simply by that demeanor and by somebody who has not been seeking public office over and over and over again, somebody who has not been in office over and over again. He's somebody who's fresh and new. I would have never guessed, with all that being, I would say, in his favor, that he would have advanced this far in the race. He's closing in. He's definitely making people in the Marshall and probably Barry Moore camp as well a little nervous.
At least a little bit.
Yeah.
And he also receiving some good backing, in dollars and support, which has been something to see for someone who hasn't held office or
right.
really ran for high profile. But Barry Moore is the other story here. And we've been through the ringer time and time again here in South Alabama. I mean, Jeff Sessions, sure, he won and held that office for a long time, but we haven't seen much success from candidates from this part of the state running in these big statewide races. I mean, you don't have to look back that far to Bradley Byrne and some of the limitations he ran into as he was running for office. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. So is Barry Moore going to be able to keep this momentum rolling? And part of it, too, Steve Marshall, he's a love him or hate him kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's not someone who's just riding the line there and just saying what he thinks he needs to say to get into the runoff. He's been a very contentious attorney general, depending on how you feel about his role in that office and whether he was doing what he needed to as Alabama's AG. But a lot of people don't like Marshall. Is that the reason that Moore is doing so well, or has Moore been just playing his cards right ever since that Ladd Peebles stadium debut of Donald Trump, where he became, in his words, and I think it's pretty well sourced, the first candidate in any office, statewide or federal, to endorse Trump? That has helped him a lot along the way. Looks like the rest of the state is catching on to Barry Moore. He might be the next one from the southern part of the state to be able to make a mark statewide and nationally.
Yeah, Jeff does a good job of chronicling Moore's political advancements and how he's been able to win when at lower level, when people didn't expect him to win. Suddenly, it's almost like a leprechaun dust he's got. Like, what happened here? How did he win this? And then he wins. And then he wins again. And then he gets off to this big start. And now it's starting to dwindle a little bit. But there's something about Barry Moore that says, you got to, if you're for him, your guy may get in. He may win again. And if you're against him, you need to probably battle him to the very end to get your guy beyond him. Now, it's going to be a runoff, so we know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So is it going to be a runoff? And I think it's going to be a runoff with Moore.
Yeah.
Moore and who? Moore and Marshall. Marshall has got people who are, like you say, are divided on him. Moore and Jared Hudson, who fewer citizens of the state of Alabama, I think, are divided on. I mean, mm-hmm. they may not vote for him, but I don't think they have anything against him, considering his record and his pure values.
The inaction of Governor Ivey might actually help Marshall in this race, because with so many big, high-profile candidates calling for Alabama to just do something after that Louisiana ruling earlier this week, you had Tuberville calling for it, pretty much every big-time statewide candidate, but Ivey, you know, sitting on her hands and saying, no, we're not going to have a special session. That led to Marshall yesterday filing an emergency motion with the Supreme Court, asking them to lift the injunctions. It looks like he's the only one trying to actually do something about it in the state. That could probably work out in his favor as we head towards those primaries here less than 3 weeks away. So
I guess the Republican lawmakers, for the most part, have remained largely silent, with the kind of taking cues from Governor Ivey and not crossing her. Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. It's almost like they're waiting to see what kind of a group effort they can put forth, like who's going to be the first to come out and go after the governor for this kind of sitting action. Idly by. Yeah. Now, Ivy did come out yesterday after Marshall filed those emergency motions and voiced support for it, and so did Secretary of State Wes Allen. We'll see where that goes. We have kind of a different story for our congressional districts than even some of these other states nearby that are drawing them up, and so much of that has to do with the Civil Rights Act and then these previous court rulings where, you know, talk about moratoriums. They basically put our state on a line-drawing moratorium until that 2030 census.
Yeah.
How that works out in the courts, I'm not sure. But
yeah, maybe our situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
So legally different. So, and you were, and I've heard you, and I've heard this argument, I don't completely understand it, talking about not really happy with the state's response initially to the to the ruling, to the three-judge panel, redistricting things in this way. You thought that the state didn't do a good job in responding. That would have been Marshall, I guess, at the time, right?
Well, yeah, and Marshall had, I think, arguing in the in front of the big judges that it was the deputy attorney general making that argument, who has since moved on to, I think, working maybe in D.C. I can't recall exactly where he ended up, but it was a poor argument, and that was discussed quite a bit back then when we were in the courts regarding our maps. While it felt like it was the right way to do it, the actual argument in court, it was almost like they thought that, hey, this is the right. They didn't bring a good argument, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Like, this is why the maps we're being asked to draw should be unconstitutional. This is why the maps we drew actually fulfill the way that the law is written, and for one reason or another, they just didn't bring our A game to the courts, and that really ended up hurting us in the long run. Let's go to the text line, 251-343-0106. Ken says, get Chris Pringle on to explain the maps stuff. Yeah, he's and we had him on Mobile Mornings not that long ago. He jumps on with Jeff and Sean fairly often, and especially when he's on Midday Mobile, he loves diving into that whole process of drawing these maps and making sure that the districts are even. It's a fascinating thing. Texter here says, I'm sure the auto pen is covering for Governor Ivey. I agree completely with Jeff. I mean, I know that we're running out the string here on her term, but is she capable of doing the job even these last few months? It doesn't seem like it.
So we're May the 1st here, so we've got seven more months of this administration, of seven or eight.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So
to January.
She'll be in office all along the way. Troy fan says, what are your thoughts on the Democrat running for office, Kyle Sweetser? I'm going to try to get him on as well. He's the candidate who was a former Republican, right, and then switched to the Democratic Party. And I've seen some of his videos regarding the Iran war and certain things he's been taking shots at Trump on. He's an interesting candidate. Yeah, we'll try to get Kyle Sweetser on and make that happen here fairly soon. Others asking for other candidates to come on. Sure enough, Dan and I, we'll take them all.
Yeah.
As many as we can before that May 19th primary to give everyone their best idea of who they should vote for and why they should vote
Thanks
for
Thanks to Kyle Henderson, by the way, candidate for Baldwin County Commission District, or Seat 2, I should say. And again, if you missed it or missed part of it, we're going to podcast it. FMTalk1065.com. All the candidates are there.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
He says that very dramatically, like we have something amazing to offer. It's 8:56 with Dan and Dalton.
Not today.
8:56. We're doing our best.
Yeah. Will Hampson will be in for Jeff Poor coming up. Jeff Poor show follows ours. And then Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan. Back to the text line. Squirrel Vereen says, so-called conservative media doesn't help the Iran operation situation by focusing on gas prices, helping the public to ignore the Iranian regime's crimes and initiatives. You know, and I agree in a way, Squirrel Vereen. I mean, asking the American public to look at the bigger picture, I mean, you'd be better off, I don't know, winning the lottery than having that happen.
Is that our job? Can't they just look at the bigger picture? I mean, what the heck do we got to do with it?
Well,
gas prices are what they are. You factor the whole thing in. They're not cattle.
Well, and, you know, we hammer Democratic administrations when the prices are out of control there.
Sure.
And so same thing here. You got to at least mention it as part of the topic. But you're right that some are making it the only part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair either.
No, I agree with that.
And they've, the 60-day vote on war powers didn't come to fruition again yesterday. They're saying because of the ceasefire, we haven't really hit that number.
Look, they're using the Dalton Orwig, the pause thing,
yeah,
where you came up with that earlier in the week, and that's what they're using. Look, we paused the war. You've got it 60 days. It's not been 60 days. That's what Hegseth had to say yesterday.
Ultimately, I would defer to the White House and White House counsel on that. However, we are in a ceasefire right now, which our understanding means the 60-day clock pauses or stops in a ceasefire. Our understanding.
Don't argue with Hegseth. He's using the Orwig calendar, which was released earlier this week.
It's like pausing a video game. It's doesn't count. It doesn't count towards your game time.
Yeah,
right?
you paused it. You've stopped it. And so that's what Hegseth and even Johnson argued yesterday. Not a lot of pushback. So
no. And we'll see. The talk of maybe bringing strikes back, starting up with the strikes on Iran again. That is heating up this week. Some were saying that the president was waiting for the king and queen to depart before getting back after Iran.
He didn't want to be on soil during the carnage, huh?
I guess not. Will Hampson in for Jeff Poor next. Stick around. Shoot him some texts. Sean coming up at noon. And a great day of FM Talk 106.5 ahead of us.
This is Sheriff Paul Birch. With more than 3 decades experience protecting Mobile County, I can tell you I've seen what happens when law enforcement doesn't have a partner in the Attorney General's office. Criminals walk free and our communities suffer. That's why I am proud to support Catherine Robertson for Attorney General. Catherine is one of the fiercest advocates I know for law enforcement. Her stellar track record makes her the clear choice for Alabama's next Attorney General.
Hey, it's Catherine. I'm honored to have the support of Sheriff Paul Birch and law enforcement across Alabama. I've spent the last 10 years fighting for Alabama families, and I'll continue to stand with President Trump to deport violent illegals, continue to support law enforcement, and protect girls' sports from the sick trans agenda. Visit CatherineForAG.com to join the fight.
Paid for by Robertson for Attorney General, P.O. Box 50063, Birmingham, Alabama, 35253.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5. WAVH FM. Daphne Mobile.